The wheeling and dealing continues in Canberra today as the government tries to push through its environmental laws this week. With support from the Coalition or the Greens needed in the Senate, native forest logging is becoming one of the key sticking points. But one of Australia's most respected forest scientists says it shouldn't be up for debate at all. Professor David Lindenmayer is a world-leading expert on forest ecology, resource management and conservation science with the Australian National University. How big is the native forest logging industry here in Australia?
It's actually remarkably small. So the latest figures that I've seen for Tasmania indicates that less than 300 people are employed in the industry. In the whole of the southern region from Sydney to Eden, it's about 280 people. And when the native forest logging industry closed in Victoria, there were actually more people regulating the industry than there were actually in the industry itself.
And when we're talking, to be very clear, when we're talking about native forest logging, what are we talking about?
We're talking about native forests, so these are natural forests, eucalypts or eucalypt-like species that are clear-felled or selectively logged for timber. And most of that timber, about 90% of that timber, goes into the wood chip, paper pulp, box liner streams. Most of the sawn timber in Australia, about 90%, actually comes from plantations such as those dominated by radiata pine. So that's timber for floorboards, furniture, roof trusses and the like.
Do you know how much of Australia's native forests are logged each year currently, David?
It varies depending on what forest type you're in. Some forest types, like the tall wet forest that I'm actually in right now, you can probably hear some of the birds calling in the background, roughly 50% of that forest has been logged over the last 40 to 50 years, and most of that's by clear felling. And we've got similar kinds of issues in other kinds of high productivity forests throughout Tasmania, New South Wales.
How is the sector currently regulated?
Well, the interesting thing in the context of the EPPC Act reforms is that the EPPC Act is trumped, I hate to use that word, but it's trumped by the RFAs, the Regional Forest Agreements. And so that means that there's a carve-out here where native forest logging is exempt from the EPPC Act. And what that means is that despite logging having pretty major impacts on a whole raft of threatened biodiversity and having those negative effects, the EPPC Act doesn't count because it's overruled by the Regional Forest Agreement. So some of Australia's most threatened species and threatened habitats are actually not protected at all under the current process.
How much does that concern you?
Oh, that concerns me enormously. So where I am now, in the past, we've had extensive effects of logging on animals like the southern greater glider, on Leadbeater's possum in Tasmania, areas that are important for the highly critically endangered swift parrot continue to be logged, and Sustainable Timbers Tasmania really is exempt from any rules that prevent the logging of its habitat.
As you were saying, David, native forest logging is currently exempt from the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, but Environment Minister Murray Watt is now offering to apply national standards to forest logging applications instead of leaving them to the states. So what do you make of that?
Well, I think, frankly, it's rather a charade because the reality is that the industry is not profitable. It's actually not viable without significant subsidies from state governments. And the industry not only has major impacts on biodiversity, it also changes the flammability of forests in ways that makes them more flammable. So you have an industry that loses money, employs very few people, makes forests more flammable, has big impacts on biodiversity. So the reality here is rather than go through the charade of whether RFAs Trump EPPC Act or there should be reforms, really the state governments and the federal government need to bite the bullet and move directly out of native forest logging and have a plantation-only industry. This is something the New Zealanders did way back in 2002, and what happened was that there was more investment in the plantation sector, more investment in the conservation sector, which underpins their tourism industry in New Zealand. Australia should follow suit for economic reasons, social reasons, financial reasons, biodiversity reasons, and fire protection reasons.
How long does it take for native forests to regenerate if it's been logged?
It takes about 200 years to regrow the large old trees on which many of Australia's animals are dependent. These are trees that develop hollows. It takes about 80 years to grow a saw log. And the key thing here is that in the time that it takes to grow one crop of saw logs from a native forest, you can get 9 crops of wood out of a plantation. And given that our native forests are 4 times more flammable than our plantations, it's pretty clear where we should get our wood from, and our wood certainty is really tied around plantations, not around native forests.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast and you're hearing from Professor David Lindenmayer about what proposed environmental law reforms could have on native forest logging. David, there are concerns from industry about the impact on jobs. Here's Tasmanian Sawmillers Association spokesperson Matthew Terenius speaking to ABC Hobart.
Oh, look, once again, I guess it's we've become a pawn in a broader argument, and not for the first time. And it's very disappointing because, look, we need certainty to continue on in business and regional and the jobs that it creates. And, you know, anything that undermines that has the potential to have a big impact.
Well, David, what do you say to those people who are worried that they may lose their jobs or livelihood if the native forest logging is stopped?
Well, I think there's several responses to that. The first thing is that greater certainty comes from moving completely into the plantation sector. That's where we can grow the most timber the most quickly, that has the least impact on the environment. There's no doubt about that. And the industry can only survive through large handouts from government. In Tasmania, the industry's cost more than $1.5 billion to the taxpayer. And I would argue that that's not a good use of taxpayer money. The reality is here that you have much more certainty for many more people to make that transition quickly, and you make it within a couple of years. That's what the social science says. Now, we need exit packages for people to leave the industry permanently and transition across to the plantation sector. The plantation sector is screaming out for employees. People in the native forest logging industry have the kinds of skills that allow them to directly transition into plantations. So we need to do that, and need to do that quickly. That's the best outcome financially. It's the best outcome for people's job security. And it's the best outcome for the environment.
David, just finally, whatever the deficiencies you see in this proposed legislation, as it currently stands, is it better or worse than the existing system?
I think the jury's out on that from what I've seen at the moment with the carve-outs for the native forest logging industry basically being exempt from the EPBC Act. That's terrible. I haven't seen very positive things in terms of the kinds of national standards. Really, the outcome here is a rapid transition out of native forest logging altogether. That will be the best outcome, and the federal and state governments can do that pretty straightforwardly without a huge impact on jobs, without a huge impact on the economy. In fact, it would be better for the economy if they did that and did it quickly.
David, thank you very much for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Sally.